Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Here we are. Interesting enough, we had already said we were concluding our series on the Abiding Primer on the 4th of September, and somehow we got our dates slightly off by a day. So we actually, yesterday would have ended, when we call it the 4th, but it was going to be aired on the 3rd, which is being aired on the 3rd, our, you know, kind of summary of the primer. And we and this, it's really, for you and I, it's always exciting how God works. And mm-hmm. and he does these interesting things that we don't understand, particularly when we first think, uh-oh, we kind of made an error here, and, you know, what do we do with this? And and he says, well, actually, you didn't make an error. I needed this space to answer a question that you've been talking about as an example, which is forgiveness and reconciliation.
Awesome.
And we've been abiding. And I was wondering, you know, what do we do? And then you got a question.
Yes.
And
go
ahead.
Perfectly timed question, right?
A couple of questions. And by the way, it's related to, well, what do we do with that? And then how do we pursue an answer to that as we process? So go ahead and read that.
Yeah, so it said, a recent question I have on forgiveness is, what happens to Christians who don't forgive? Can and will God not forgive them on their transgressions if they're unwilling to forgive others? And do they go to hell? And then a follow-on. Do you want the follow-on?
Yeah.
Yet, or you want to go? Okay.
Just, so that, just that simple. But are we going to go to hell?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the follow-on was, I think, what if what was done to us seems almost impossible to forgive? I know it is not our job to judge or to seek retribution on our transgressors, and through him all things are possible. But where is the line between healing enough to forgive the act itself that was done and still feeling hurt by it?
Yep.
So a lot of tough stuff, you know, it spun into a whole conversation. Super cool to see what God is doing,
yep.
You know?
Yep. And the question actually arises out of scripture, so that when we're asked questions or you have a question, it's always what God says was, well, come and spend time with me.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go to the Word. And this is why, by the way, we teach cross-referencing, or you can, understand things like forgiveness, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You could put in the Word, forgive, and then let's go to verses, you know,
right.
that talk about this, particularly if it's been stimulated by a verse maybe you've read and wondered about. Well, the question actually is actually generated from the Word itself. It's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So go to Mark 11, 20 to 25, 26, and it actually speaks to this as a raising up a point, which we would have to say, huh, what the heck does that mean? You know, and so go ahead and read that.
It says, now in the morning they passed by. They saw the fig tree dried up from its roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses.
Yeah. So Well, that seems, so
right.
In other
which
words,
is exactly, I think this friend, I don't know if she was reading in this passage or heard a teaching, but she hit that and she's like, wait a second.
Yeah.
This brings up questions. And this is exactly what you're saying. That question is an invitation to dive in deeper and abide, right?
Yeah. Because it's, it raises a question because it says so. Well, if you don't forgive, then the Father doesn't forgive you. And then the question becomes, well, does that mean if I don't ultimately forgive everybody, am I in a position where God hasn't forgiven me, and that means I die separated from God,
right?
And wind up in essence, lose my salvation, or I wind up because I haven't forgiven, and that's actually the critical piece. Well, that's what it says. So when we see that, and we say, wait a minute, I thought we had eternal security. And we get to go to heaven regardless of what we're ultimately doing on earth at the moment. And God says, well, come and spend time with me and let's explore this. And this is, by the way, the beauty of what's called the entire counsel of God.
Yes.
All of the Word of God holds together. And that means we have to understand it all in light of what we learn as truth. And then it provides these interesting, well, then wait a minute, if that's true, then how does this verse relate to what you said? Because it does say
right.
that, you know. Okay, so it's a legitimate question. It's the two questions are, you know, if we don't forgive, are we potentially in a position where we don't spend eternity with God because we're not forgiven? And then secondly is... when it's so severe of what somebody has done to me, hurt me, and I can't, I'm really having a hard time forgiving. I know I'm supposed to, you know, but I don't, what do I do with that? Okay. So the question's been raised. So the good news is that the scriptures speak to this. So go to Hebrews 10, read verses 1 to 18. And the whole discussion, by the way, in Hebrews 8, 9, and 10 is about, in essence, this point. And it's, and he's talking to, you know, people that understand the Jewish heritage. You do understand the sacrificial system. And by the way, that he goes through a whole discussion of it's only temporary. It was only temporary,
right.
1 year at a time. And by the way, you had to join that. With the high priest, and he goes into a discussion of this. The high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would offer a sacrifice for himself to purify his transgressions for this following year. He would do the second sacrifice for his family, his personal
right.
inner circle, so to speak. And then he would do the third sacrifice for the nation that then gave the release through atonement of the transgression for a year. Okay, now once he did that, having completed that, now by the way, it was never fully completed because he couldn't sit down and it was a year to year to year. The people, which is why they would go to Jerusalem to the temple, and they would participate in that by offering their own personal sacrifice and saying, I join what you did. And now I'm covered, you know, for that year. And so then he describes, well, that was year after year, temporary, never permanent. Well, Christ made it permanent. So read Hebrews 10, 1 to 18.
Sure. It says, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then, would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. previously saying, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And then he adds, their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there's no longer an offering for sin.
Yep.
Right?
So again, through this discussion of Christ being the high priest and the sacrifice, he says, I have perfected it once and for all, completed, which is why, remember on the cross, when he looked up to the Father, he said, it is finished. Completed, done, once and for all. He said, I perfected what the high priest would have to do year after year after year, which, and he even says it in there, it's not permanent, and they're not permanently saved. But Christ did it once and for all, for all people. The sacrifice of now forgiving all of us. And think about it, there's no discussion in there of any condition that we have to meet for that, for that act. Now, I'm talking about forgiveness, not reconciliation.
Okay.
There's no discussion here of reconciliation. He just says, I have forgiven you on my own nature, nothing that you did, but rather what I did. And I did it once and for all, permanently, never to have to do it again. And I sat down at the right hand of the Father because it's now completed. And this never has to be done again. I've done it for past, present, and future. Okay, once and for all. Okay, go to Colossians 2, 11 to 15.
Colossians 2, 11 to 15 says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it.
Yep. So he says, okay, now remember what I've done. And he accomplished four things at the cross. One, he starts out, he uses the same verb, having done this. The first one is, I've having forgiven all of your trespasses. Now remember, it's an act of God, and he has forgiven all of our trespasses. Everybody has been forgiven by the act of God, by his nature. Okay, secondly, he took away the requirement that was necessary, which was perfection. In order to have relationship with me, you had to be perfect. I've removed that requirement. He says, actually, now you just have to believe what I did. He says, I've disarmed principalities and powers, and I've triumphed over them, so they don't have any more hold on you. Okay, now, and this is important as we get into how difficult it is for us to forgive. He said, forgiveness is for everybody, once and for all, done deal, completed. And what it did is it took away any requirement for somebody to perform something, to receive it but there's still a requirement. And the requirement the requirement for believing, for reconciliation and having relationship with God is I believe that what you did is true. I receive that, and now I accept you into my heart as my as my Lord and Savior, and now I'm reconciled. So keep remembering this. Did Christ forgive everybody at the cross?
Yes.
Is everybody reconciled at the cross?
No.
How come?
Because you have to choose to step into the reconciliation.
Yeah, because I can't alter the truth. I've given you an opportunity to have relationship with me by what I did for you, took away this requirement. You don't have to be perfect anymore. Mm-hmm. What you have to do is believe it. And I can't change that truth. So, you know, there, you know, there's a lot of people right now, what's called universalism, and even in the church, is all those all kinds of ways to God, and God loves everybody, and everybody's going to make it. No, that's not true. He says, I can't alter the truth. Mm-hmm. Even though I've forgiven you and I've given you the opportunity to go to truth, you have to decide if you're going to process that and come to that truth, and now we can be reconciled. Okay, now go to, this is a verse that I didn't give you before, but go to John 5, 24.
Sure. John 5, 24 says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life.
Yeah. So he says, if you believe this, remember, I forgave you, which gave you the opportunity to believe it. Now, by the way, this is interesting. If he never had done that, there'd be nothing to believe.
Right.
We'd still be required to be perfect because that was the requirement. He said, I had to take care of that problem. You can't get there. Nobody could get there. So the only way for me to have a relationship with you is I had to take care of the problem, which I did through my sacrifice, and I forgave you, allowing you the opportunity to believe it. But if you believe it, you cross over. So the first statement is, no, you don't lose your salvation.
Right.
Because you cross over from death to life. It's done deal, completed, and you never leave it. And then, by the way, Paul describes there is a situation here, and this is in 1 Corinthians 3, where he says you can kind of waste your whole life because you don't follow God. If you truly are a believer, you're still going to get there. But how you live is important relative to the rewards that you wind up with. So keep remembering, and there's lots of other scripture as well, but this one specifically says you do not lose your salvation, regardless of what you do. You've crossed over already. So the fact that I fail at forgiving is not a condition to lose my salvation. Why? Because I can't lose it. And it's not about performing. It has to be about something else. Is what do I do? Okay.
Yeah. So let me just highlight. So in that, because you see now these two scriptures that if you were to read them standing alone, you would look at them and say they were contrary to one another, right?
Yeah.
And so this is where, again, the abiding, okay, we're looking at the whole counsel of scripture and looking at everything and letting scripture interpret scripture. And like you said, this then puts validity to that question.
Yeah.
You're coming back. Okay, so this says we can't lose our salvation. So then what is this other passage really talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
And so this is the way you kind of begin to dialogue and journal out these questions. So I'm just kind of laying it out.
Yeah, and you talk to God and you talk to people around you to help you understand. Okay, now go back to Mark 11. Mark 11. Read verse 24, 25, 26.
Sure. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses.
Yeah. He says, so you're a believer by definition because you are praying. And you're saying, I can speak to this mountain. I believe that I will have this. I'm praying. He said, now while you're in that mode, you're a believer in that mode. Hey, mm-hmm. if I remind you that you have unforgiveness in your heart,
right?
I need you to stop. Mm-hmm. Because it's indicating something has happened. And it's about not whether or not your eternal salvation is set. Mm-hmm. It's your experience of the freedom that comes from what I've done, which is forgive you, so that you can have this relationship. Something has happened to the relationship. Okay, now
right.
go to Galatians 5:1-4. He tells us what happened. Galatians 5:1-4.
Hold with me for just a second.
Yep.
I don't have that one marked either. Okay, 5:1-4. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace.
Yep. So he says, now he's talking to believers. Mm-hmm. He said, if you go back to law mm-hmm. And you attempt to do something on your own, separate from God.
Which is really going back to performance as well.
Going back to performance. Right. Then, okay. then you're obligated
mm-hmm.
to keep the whole law. Why? Well, because you've severed the relationship. And what he means there is, remember, because Paul's the one that talks about eternal security, you have momentarily mm-hmm. separated yourself from the life of God. And you've fallen from grace. Grace means my ability to deliver the covenant, the beautiful life of abundance to mm-hmm. you. And you've fallen because I can't give it to you. Why? Because you're not with me.
Right.
And therefore, you're not experiencing the privilege that I gave you through what? Forgiveness.
Right.
So
funny, even as you say that, I want you to pick that back up in a second, but I'll just put a little plug. The next series we started is called Walking in the Kingdom.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Is this is one of the ways that sometimes we step out of the kingdom, right?
Yeah. So that when you put all this together, it says, what does it mean he doesn't forgive me? It means I've walked away.
Mm.
from the freedom that allows me to have the life of God and the privilege of what God has already done. And I've walked away from that and I've gone back to living in the world without mm-hmm. God. And he says an indicator of that is forgiveness.
Right.
Toward others. So if you don't have forgiveness toward others, he said, you've separated from me because my life is not in you. Why? Because I forgave you on my nature. I need you mm-hmm. to forgive others on my nature as well. Nothing to do with them. It
right.
has to do with my life within you. Because now this is really interesting. Why? God already forgave him.
Right.
He says, you got to join me in that spot toward that mm-hmm. person. You join me in that spot. If you join me in that spot, you're walking with me in the kingdom. If you're not, you've separated from me. And he says, now you've basically denied the freedom that I've given you to live out the life. It's not that you lose eternal security. It's that you mm-hmm. lose the vibrancy and the power of life today.
Mm.
And so come on, let's go. All right, then he says, but it's hard.
it is hard, right?
It's really hard when somebody has hurt me so bad, mm-hmm. Through abuse or through, just severe pain and injustice. How do I handle that? Because
right.
I'm struggling with the ability, to forgive them. And if I forgive them, doesn't that release them to go ahead and either continue or they got away with it?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, God, our sense of justice gets in the way with
us, and
right?
God says, well, no. If you go to, I'm going to give you another verse here, but go to Romans 9, and okay. go ahead and just read, I believe it's 14 through 20, Romans 9, 14 to 20.
Sure. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness?
Excuse me, I'm in the wrong place. Romans 12, 14 to 20.
All right.
Yep.
Romans 12, 14 to 20.
21, actually. 14 to 21.
Okay. Sure. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Yeah. It says, now remember, as far as it's concerning you, you know, offer your peace. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this out of Luke 10, is that we are to offer a peace. Would you be willing to reconcile? They have to say, yes, I do, and process the truth. And you never mm-hmm. deny the truth. So if somebody's hurt you deeply, you don't say, well, I'll just ignore it. No.
Right.
He said, actually, it's healthy that you're upset about this, and it bothers you. So you got to offer your peace. Okay, now, if I'm going to offer my peace,
mm-hmm.
kind of what must be important for me?
I have to actually have
peace. I got to be at peace.
yeah.
So there's two steps here. Is that one, and this is why he puts the whole thing together, he says, forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they hurt you doesn't let them off the hook by you forgiving them
mm-hmm.
any more than God says, I let anybody off the hook when I forgave them at the cross. They're not in a position where they automatically have a eternal life with me. They can spend their life in hell if they never process that truth. And I can't change that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't let them off the hook. It only provides the opportunity for them to process the truth and to see where that winds up.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, so if you can't forgive them, at the moment he says, I want you to set aside them
mm-hmm.
and you and I got to spend time together.
Right.
And you got to stay involved in these verses of forgiveness, and you have to receive the truth that I forgave you on my nature, and it has nothing to do with them, and it doesn't matter how severe. So for example, has God forgiven Hitler? Has he forgiven Saddam Hussein? Has he forgiven serial killer, murderer, liar, cheater, adulterer?
Mm-hmm.
Has he forgiven everybody?
He has.
See, he doesn't.
Is hard for us to swallow,
yeah,
though.
He
if
doesn't.
We're honest,
he doesn't rank that. Well, mm-hmm. that's so awful that I can't forgive it. He said, no, I forgave everybody for everything, even the worst, which is why if somebody comes who's a murderer in prison, let's say,
mm-hmm.
and they say, you know what, I now understand the truth. I believe Christ. They receive reconciliation, and they'll spend eternity mm-hmm. with God. It has nothing to do with what they did. What does
right.
it have to do with? I've received forgiveness.
Them receiving the forgiveness,
and
yeah.
now I process the truth, and I know that I'll have eternal destiny. So he says now regarding to you, he says, offer your peace. And the first question is, have you gone to forgiveness?
Mm-hmm.
On the basis that I forgave you. And this person would say, no, I haven't.
Right.
Yet. Okay, that's okay. What's the key? Abide with God.
Mm-hmm.
Father, I need to understand, receive, and have forgiveness for this person. It's not that easy.
Right.
So I'm going to spend time with you abiding. until I receive your forgiveness that then extends to the other party, and now I have peace because it's your nature. And all you can do is stay with it until you receive that. And it may mm-hmm. take days, weeks, it doesn't matter. Then he says this, you've offered their peace and they've rejected it.
Mm-hmm.
And they hurt you and they deserve my justice. He says, I will take care of it.
Right.
And matter of fact, he says, get out of the way. Because they're gonna experience my wrath because of what they did to you.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because what they did to you, you did to me. And I can't do anything less. So trust that justice will be served. And he said, don't you repay evil for evil. You go on to your life of freedom, which goes back to Luke 10. Offer your peace. Yes, mm-hmm. they accept it. Get reconciled. No, they don't. What do? Dust your feet off.
Right.
And say, okay, I release this. And God says, I need you to forget the past, not spend any more time on this, because you know that justice will be served. You're experiencing my forgiveness, and you've released the burden of your bitterness toward what happened here. And you've gone as far as you can. Mm-hmm. And they're not gonna process any further with you. And so they stand having injustice toward you, which is injustice toward God. Don't worry, I'm gonna take care of it. What I need you to do is to move on with your life.
Right.
And let it go. And I'll give you the power to release this so it mm-hmm. no longer burdens you and you don't think about it anymore. And so the two pieces are, let's work on forgiveness first. And that's, mm-hmm. he said, that's just between you and me.
Right.
Now let me help you release the hurt of this. And by the way, there's no limit to that. So mm-hmm. there's not a hierarchy of, yeah, but this is so hard, I can never release it. He said, no, you can release this. You have to spend time with me. And I'll change your heart. It's called transformation, sanctification. I will transform you so you're never burdened by this any longer. And the only way you can do it, it's not a formula, and you can't do it on your own. Okay, fine, I'll forgive him. Okay, fine, I'll forget mm-hmm. it. He said, no, that won't work. It actually makes it worse.
Right.
It's like, I'm having a hard time forgiving him. Okay, he said, great, come and spend time with me until you get to that point of forgiveness. And by the way, I'm already there. If you join me, you'll be there too. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got to work on your heart to release this because they've rejected it. By the way, I'm going to tell you something. They're cursed. Don't worry about that. I will repay. Mm-hmm. I will repay them. They're not let off the hook. And by the way, and this is important, and we talked about this before when we set up boundaries, if somebody keeps hurting you, I got to give you wisdom about how not to be hurt anymore.
Right.
So I'm not asking you to put up with it. I'm asking you to be freedom of it. But there isn't anything too difficult for God. Now, is it harder for us? Yeah. And all it requires is what? Spend time with me.
Yeah.
And go to Paul's statement about, you know, release the things of the past and press on to the high calling of Christ Jesus and work with your inner circle and process and what happened and here's how I feel and help me to get freedom from this. And you can't get your own freedom.
Right.
It's only because what God will do and abiding, and this is really a great, great summary of the primer we did, is abiding is just staying with it.
Yeah.
And you recognize the issue. First of all, I'm having a hard time forgiving him. Okay. He said, well, the truth of that is between you and me. By the way, you don't lose your salvation. You've just separated from me. So the remedy is what? Well, come on back.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, I repent of this. I'm willing to let you give me the forgiveness for this person. So by the way, and this is cool. Can you be walking in the kingdom and struggling with forgiveness? Sure.
Yes.
Just like anything else. Can I be angry? Mm-hmm. Sure. Can I be dealing with anxiety and fear? Sure. It's not about being perfect to come back. Mm-hmm. It's saying, come on back.
Right.
Have a heart to receive it. Walk with me. Abide with me. I'll give you the power to forgive it. while you're walking with me. The only way it won't happen is you never come back.
Right. And that is really our choice, right? That's the choice. Do we stay with him and let him complete the work? I think of, you know, the verse in Hebrews that says he is author and finisher of our faith.
Yeah.
So what he has begun, he will complete, but we need to stay with him in the process.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And it's not to be perfect. It's just to walk with him. And now you've restored the relationship that was severed. Now it's back. You're back into grace. And all you're doing is walking with me with a heart to let me transform you. So I'll give you the forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And then the second point is, how are you doing with this? I'm still burdened by this. I'm still bothered by this. It's hard to let go. Okay, well, let's go work on that. And I'll work with that.
And what's fun is in that he knows it's a process, and the very thing, the unforgiveness, he'll actually use to bring other things out of your heart and show you other areas he wants to sanctify in the process of walking you into forgiveness and freedom.
Yeah.
And it can be a beautiful, beautiful freeing process, right?
Yeah, it really is. So this is a great summary. We spent a little bit longer than normal, but it's a great summary with fantastic questions. And see, here's the beauty of this. The questions are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
See, we have a tendency to think I shouldn't even go there because I know I'm supposed to forgive and I can't. And I guess I just, try. But actually God says, no, why don't you come and bring up the question?
Mm-hmm.
What the heck do I do with this? Because it's so hard for me. Okay, great. Let's go. Okay. I've gone to forgiveness, but I just can't let this go. Okay. What do I do with that? Well, come on, let's go talk. See, there's the neat thing about the life of God. He says, bring it all. No problem. And it doesn't bother me one iota. The only thing that would bother me, God speaking, is that you never come.
Right.
And you either try to do it yourself or you struggle with what I call stuffing it or acceptance, and you live in misery and you accept it as God's will, which it isn't. So come on, let's go. So, Father, we're just overwhelmed by, first of all, how you orchestrate this great discussion, because I'm sure a lot of people have these questions. Mm-hmm. And, consider it a joy to be able to process it. We know that these are hard things and they're not easy, and they're not to be just dismissed. Rather, it's to be presented to you and process it based on the truth. And process it until we actually experience, which is what we've been saying about abiding. Stay with it until you really receive the truth of this in your real life at the moment. And don't quit until you do. And so we pray that we will. We pray that this will be helpful. And again, if people have questions, we'd love to keep helping them. And so thank you for the privilege that we have here in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich. Thanks for taking the time to answer this question for my sweet friends. And for anybody else out there who listened to this and this has brought up more questions for you, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. We'd love to talk about it and look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you. And by the way, again, next week, we start a new series on living in the kingdom, which kind of relate to this. So,
It ties back perfectly.
It'll be a great, great series to go. So we look forward to it.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.